Well, this morning's first public reading has come from Psalm 72. People do not realize that the book of Psalms is actually broken down into five separate books. And in these books, you have Psalm 1 through whatever forms one of the books. And then you pick up where that book ended, and you have so many, then there's another book. It's not evenly divided. Some of these books have more chapters than others. And so this is a marker. If you notice verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Meaning the Psalms now, from 73 to the end, are going to be written by someone else, not David. So David takes up nearly half of the Psalms in his own writings that we have recorded in our scripture. In this particular edition that I'm using of the King James, it's a larger print to help me so I can see and make sure I'm not, you know, fuzzed out. In this particular edition, it has, at the end of each one of these verses, it has a star. And when you look at the key code in the beginning of the book, it tells you if you see a star, it means that this is a prophecy pointing to Christ. And in this particular edition, all 19 verses, not including verse 20, where it says this is the word, the ending of David, all 19 have a star. Because if you listen carefully to what is being written, this goes beyond Solomon. This goes beyond David. It's talking about Christ. If you notice, look at verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be counted as long as the sun and the moon shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. This is a messianic psalm that is pointing to the kingdom of God in the person of Christ. When under the Old Testament, bear in mind, under the Old Testament, God confined himself to one nation, the nation of Israel. Okay? And yet these people were very unfaithful to the point he had to exile the 10 northern tribes by the Assyrians, and then the one little southern tribe by the Babylonians. And then he scattered them across the ancient world. Okay? They were very unfaithful. Again, so to the point where they tossed their infants into the fire, to the god Moloch. It doesn't mean that God was ignorant of all the other nations at that time. But God entered into a covenant with this one people in order to give us two blessings. The Old Testament as a foundation. And you got to realize the early church in the book of Acts was also composed of Jews. Not only did they give us the scriptures, they gave us the Messiah through the line of Judah, through the line of David, going all the way back to our first father, Adam. And in this prophecy, if this was written by Solomon, you're now looking about 900 B.C., on or around. David's around 1000 B.C., and then David dies, and then Solomon is then the next king. He reigns for 40 years. This is a prophecy that is looking way into the future, our future, and the future until Christ comes back. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. Whose name do we bless forever? Not David, not Solomon, not Noah, not Abraham. It's the name of Jesus. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory, not our glory. And so, beloved, can I encourage you that when you do read the Psalms, you got to realize that these people who composed the Psalms under divine inspiration, we're looking down the road from their perspective before the cross. They were looking to the cross and all the glory and the majesty and the salvation that would now be thrust wide open to the world. What was Jesus' great commission to the 11 at the close of Matthew chapter 28? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, not just Israel now. Now that redemption has been purchased on the cross, Christ has come and he's checked off on his prophecy list everything foretold about him. Now we have the new covenant. They lived under the old covenant. The new covenant has now come. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper and we raise the cup, we utter his words. This cup, and the blood of this cup represents the blood of the new covenant, which shall be shed for many. And hours later, Jesus ratified what he blessed on the cross by his death and by the shedding of his blood. Look at verse 8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. Well, Solomon, his kingdom was all of this. The only sea he had to touch was the Mediterranean. The one that Solomon is painting, the picture that he's painting of somebody with a much greater universal dominion. And from the river unto the ends of the earth, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Showing the advancement of God's kingdom. And so, beloved, in Psalm 72, you have a beautiful foreshadowing. Listen to this. That when this was written, 9 centuries prior to the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, this was a foretaste. This was a prophecy to be fulfilled by the one who would come, of a kingdom that would have no end. Look at verse 14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. That's Jesus's, that is the view of Jesus for you. He has redeemed our soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood, or literally their life, shall be in his sight. And so, beloved, here we have a prophetic announcement of the soon coming reign of Christ. And that was all fulfilled. What else did he tell his disciples in Matthew 28? Before he told them, "Go ye into all the world and teach," he said these words: "All power," meaning authority, "is given in me, not only in heaven, but on earth." And in that context, church, you go and you teach all nations, not just one now, but everyone. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.